The word of contentment. We've looked at all the different words that Christ spoke, the messages that he gave. This is from Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up his spirit. All of these words, the very choices of these words are very important. So he spoke these words, and I think it's encouraging for us that he spoke these words with a loud voice. This is not one that, a voice that could barely speak after all the suffering. This was one who was in relatively still strong health. Broken health, the heart was failing, but he was strong. He wanted all to hear it. He could put his spirit confidently into his Father's hands. He didn't exactly just die, he gave up his spirit. So this is the seventh saying of Jesus on the cross. Seven is the number of completeness or perfection. Seven is the number of rest in a finished work. You remember in Exodus 20, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, the day of rest, and hallowed it, made it holy. And even this saying was prophesied. God knew what was going to happen. Christ, having read the scriptures, recognized this was going to happen. In Psalm 31:1-5, in thee, O Lord, I do put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Ashamed is the word used a lot in the scripture. The idea is, I believed something and it didn't happen. That makes me ashamed, see. I trusted that something would happen, but it didn't. So some of us have believed people and then been ashamed that it didn't happen. So he says, never let me be ashamed. I'm going to trust in you, and that will come true. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, and deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. The Hebrew is, to me for a rock of strength. That's a powerful concept. For an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. Privately is they secretly laid a net for my feet. Thou art my strength, and into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Well, let's see what Christ was showing when he said these words. First of all, Christ showed renewed communion with his Father. Now, this is precious. Remember, we were looking at the saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is that horrible side of his payment where God the Father, God the Son had to part, that the one was carrying sin, the other could not see him, you see. This was when he took our sin and suffered the sin for it. That was the cup. That was the cup of God's justice that he did, that he asked if it could pass for the Holy One to have sin upon him was a thought very horrible to him. But now that's over, see. The sense is, I place my spirit beside you. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Commend is the word to put beside. And so he says, as this body dies, I'm laying this beside you. And so renewed communion with his Father. At the end, all is good. The second thing that this shows, Christ showed a designed contrast. Where is he? He's on the cross. For more than 12 hours, Christ has been in the hands of men. Matthew 26:45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. People with evil motives and power to take his life. Now, he had voluntarily delivered himself into the hands of sinners, and now he voluntarily delivers his spirit into the hands of the Father. Alfred said, it was his own act, this the end, a determinate delivering up of his spirit to the Father. This was him doing it, you see. Augustine said, he gave up his life because he willed it, when he willed it, and as he willed it. Again, it was not taken from him, but he gave it up. A third thing that he showed, Christ showed perfect submission to God. God asked of him a death. I'm reminded of the symbol of this when Abraham was told to give his son in sacrifice. God did not actually have him sacrifice his son. But how much it reminds us that God the Father did give his son a sacrifice. And as Isaac was a teenager at the time, and his father over 100, I don't think it would have been much of a battle for Isaac to rebel and say no, you see. But neither was there any rebellion here. So let's ask ourselves, can you say with the apostle, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day? See, I am trusting him. I will not be ashamed. And I have given him my spirit, and he will keep it. So, if your whole life is yielded up to God, and death should overtake you before the Savior returns to receive his people to himself, it will then be easy to say at the time of death, and natural for you to say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. My spirit. I've known people that have what I'm going to call a superstitious fear of death. This is where they didn't want to talk about dying and going to heaven. They didn't want to talk about dying. Dying was the worst possible thing. This is a superstition, you see. Rather, I love the instances that I've been around where people were ready to die, and their body was ready to die, and they were ready to die. Some people who said, we've tried enough of the medicine, we've done all this, we've labored at this, we're spending a lot of money with this, and I'm not afraid to go see my father. We put on a Christmas thing where a lady called Merry Christmas, and the doctor said, I'm so sorry, Mary, you're going to die. She said, you can't make it sound bad that I go to heaven to be with my Lord, you see. You can't threaten me with heaven, see. If you recognize this, you see, then it's okay between us and God. It is, I gave you my life, now take my spirit, see. I think the fourth thing that Christ showed was he showed his absolute uniqueness. Uniqueness means one of a kind, not just interestingly novel. John 10:14-18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, whatever it looks like, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Somehow, some way, perhaps he's referring to during his human life here, God the Father had spoken to him, and let him know, or perhaps spoke to him through the scriptures, and revealed to him that he would be able to take back his life. Most of us don't have that power, see. The most convincing evidence of this is seen in the committal of his spirit to the hands of the Father. The Holy Spirit used three expressions about Christ's death. Notice this. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Yielded is Strong's 863, if you wanted to look it up. It is fiami. And it means literally to send away. The picture here is that Jesus dismissed his spirit. He said, go on. In Luke 23:46, the same situation, same act. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up his spirit. Give up his spirit is one word. It is ek pineo. Ek is out. Pineo is to breathe. And it means literally to breathe out. The word is connected to spirit, but it's not the word spirit, pneuma, to breathe out. And so at this point he went, and it was done, you see. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This word, gave up, is paradidomi, and it means literally to give into the hands of another. Isn't that a lovely thought? He was holding his life in his hands, so to speak, and he just put it in the hands of God the Father. So Jesus delivered his spirit into the hands of the Father. This was his act and his ability alone. You and I don't have that ability. We may ask, Cheryl's mother said, pray with me that God will take me today. Her sister called her and said, she asked us to do this. And my wife counseled back, do it. And she turned around. She was leaving the hospital at that time, I think.
She was not in the hospital.
Huh?
She was at home.
Oh, she was at home, right. So you turned back to go back there. Yeah. And by the time she got back, God had answered that prayer. Yeah. When you're ready. The fifth is that Christ showed our eternal security. So how do you see that? Well, there's more to it than this, because Paul's favorite term for the believer, I say favorite because he used it so many times, was those in Christ Jesus, to be in him. Well, how do you get in him? That is spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit immerses you into Christ. These are terms that speak of incorporation. The word incorporation in the Latin means to be put into the body. And so you are in a company that any lawsuit or anything trying to attack you has to go through the company, you see. And so now we are in Christ. We are incorporated into Christ. And with that, we are not considered who we are. We are considered Christ. Here's some of the verses. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, on our own, we would have earned a condemnation because of our sin. We would continue to earn condemnation because we would continue to sin. But we are not in ourselves. We are now in Christ, and he has paid for it. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Definition of being saved. Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. You picture this coming into Christ, and some of us become hands or thumbs or Sometimes I feel like a big toe. I think that's about it. But even a big toe is important for us, or we wouldn't have it. Romans 16:7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. They were saved before I was, he said. Romans 16:9, salute Urbane, the city guy, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. So he just uses this term to refer to people who are Christians. So we are in him. Now, Paul taught then that we have participated in what Christ did, you see. So Paul taught that believers are spiritually crucified with Christ. God looks at you having become a Christian, and he sees that you were crucified and died for your sin, paid the penalty. They died with him. This is Romans 6. Read that over and over again. It takes a while for us, our flesh-oriented, our earth-oriented mind, to really get the idea of what it's saying in Romans 6. I had to memorize that chapter. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. This is not going through a process of crucifixion. It has been done, you see. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. We experience also the resurrection. Christ taught that believers are in his hands. John 10:29, my Father which gave them me, the people that he gave him, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So here is the basis of your confidence. If you receive Jesus as Savior, you are in his hands, and he is with God on his throne. Died with him, rose from the dead with him, and ascended with him to sit beside God the Father on the throne. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together, ascended together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ, who is secure at the Father's right hand. So, those who rely on their own will, their own resolution, their own determination, often fail, and their last condition is worse than the first. But for those of us who have given ourselves to God, to Christ, are in him, and he has committed his spirit to the Father. The sixth thought is this, that Christ showed the blessedness of communion with God. Communion is that fellowship. It is that participation with, that partnership with, all of that in that word. Communion with God is independent of place or circumstance. You don't have to be in a church building to be in communion with God. Our Savior was on the cross, surrounded by a taunting crowd, enduring intense agony, and yet was in fellowship with the Father. Father, I commit my spirit. So I ask you, don't be overcome by the superstitious fear of death. Why do you dread death, my brother or sister? Why should believers fear when Christ showed such confidence? What we call death is merely a separation from our earthly body to live as a spirit with our Lord. So, passing through a doorway into a different place, it can be scary if you don't know what's on the other side. But if you know who's on the other side, you might be invited to a friend of yours' house, and they just moved in. See, But you don't have to be afraid. It is passing from one place to another. My last thought is this, that Christ showed the heart's true haven. You know, a haven, the haven of rest, this is where the ship comes in at last safely, finds a haven. You think about it here, that Christ did not ask, Lord Jesus, receive my body. My Father, he should have been saying here. Receive my body, take care of my dust. That was not what he was talking about. He asked, Lord, take hold of my spirit as my body dies. That's who we really are. I was thinking about that one day, and somebody was pointing out that, and I learned this, because as you grow older, as you have birthdays, you know, as I did recently, it used to be people would say, do you feel any older? And I go, well, no, it's just another day. And I began to think about that. The feeling older comes, the body loses some of its energy and some of its springiness, shall we say. And now the floor is so far down there that it's really hard to get down there and then back up. It's just a longer distance. But the thing is that as you, the you that looks at you through your eyes, the you that looks out feels about the same. Before I get to the mirror to remind myself what I look like now, I feel like the same guy that was going to high school and everything else, you know. I'm the same me. And somebody was saying, that's kind of strange. I said, well, actually, it's not so strange, because who you really are is you, the spirit within. You inhabit a body that's getting older, that's growing up in some cases, right? But the real you is your spirit inside, and it's ageless. It is an everlasting life. So you don't feel old, or at least I hope you don't. You don't get to the place where that's who you are. I'm an old, grouchy person. We were at MCL this afternoon. I said, this place makes me feel younger. Looking at all these people that were all like this, walking around to their table, you know, and people carrying their trays for them and so on. By contrast, I felt pretty young. But that's what our body feels. But our spirit, that's who we are. And that hasn't aged. So Christ here, and here is a lesson, he thought not so much of the place of heaven. Oh, streets of gold, palaces of like glass and so on, as he did communion with his Father. What is the greatness of getting to heaven? It's being with our God. God said to Abraham, I am thy reward. And that's always going to be true. So here he asked to be taken into the Father's hands. Think about being put in someone's hands. You know what that means? It's under their control, you see. He uses the word without the definite article. In the Greek, it's not into the hands of the Father. It is into hands of the Father. So this means that the characteristic of those things. So such a use refers to his Father's control. In his hands, take me in your control. Take me in your might, your activity, your power. Take control. John Gill said, he committed it, his spirit, to his divine care and protection. I put myself in your hands. And to enjoy his presence, during its separation from his body. We often miss the whole point that Christ died. That's a separation of body and spirit. His spirit was with the Father. He committed it right then. And his spirit was with his Father. The body stayed on earth. But the spirit returned in great power the 3 days later. Awoke that body with a new essence, a new ability, a new power. Changing that body into something that couldn't die after that. So he said, I commend my spirit into thy hands. I commend my spirit. There is something joyful about that. There is something very contented about that. This is where I wanted to be. This is how I wanted it to end. And so he was done. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we turned to thee, having ended the seven sayings of Christ on the cross, we can finally put that to an end. Christ is for us then no longer on the cross speaking these words, but in all power back together with thee, having accomplished his task that only he could do. He is now restored to full power, and with his resurrection, return to his body, but that body made a new body, an eternal body. And we recognize, Father, that that's the promise to us. That's the kind of body that we will have at the resurrection, when at the rapture, the bodies buried on earth somehow will be reconstituted into an everlasting body, not made of the earthly molecules and atoms, but made of spiritual parts and able to do even as we choose. We ask that you might so help us then, Father, to recognize that what Christ accomplished came full circle, that he who lived with you returned to you and then came back to earth to finish the job with his eternal body. We ask that you might give us then that sense of completion, that sense of finality. Breathe out a breath of joy and realize that he did all that he needed to, all that he could, and all that was necessary. We pray, Father, that you might bless us with this comment that he ends, that everything done, he commended his spirit unto thee. Perhaps tonight you are realizing you haven't asked Christ to be your Savior. If that's so, then you are not committed to him. And at the end of your life, you are basically dropped into the fiery furnace of Hades to be waiting for the time when you're resurrected to the great white throne judgment and there cast into the lake of fire forever. This is not something that anybody that understands it would want or could even conceive of as a proper end. And it's during this time while you're alive, this moment when you have the message, that you can actually be in Christ and live in him forever. Would you then take care of this and bow your head and ask to be saved, confessing your sin, acknowledging him as your Lord and your Savior? Father, then we ask that each one here that is not sure of their salvation, that they would take this time now in the depth of their heart and trust you as their Savior. Take you as their Savior. Take the work that you accomplished on the cross and by the power of the resurrection and take that unto themselves, that they might be in him and that their sins are paid for by that crucifixion. We pray these things then in Jesus' name. Amen.